This is God's word, not Pastor Edmund's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Spirit of God who's here to teach us, reach us, lead us and guide us into all truth. So I step back so that he can use me to spiritually feed your people. And I thank you in advance that no weapon formed against the word today will prosper. That every person's mind and heart is ready to receive this engrafted word that is able to change our souls and deliver our hearts. Thank you for doing what only you can do. And I expect signs, miracles, and wonders to follow your word because you always watch over to perform it. And we declare this now in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you this morning. I forgot to download my lesson. So let me pull it up. I got my Wi-Fi on. I'm just now looking at it. I got caught up, y'all. Let me say this while I'm waiting. How many follow us on social media? If you follow us on social media, raise your hand if you follow us on social media. Okay, if you don't follow us, can you do that? Because there are things that we put out there that need your attention. I did a reel. Okay, wait a minute, Leah. All right, hold on. I can't talk and focus at the same time here. Okay, is it all right? Yeah, it's all right. It's going to be all right, too. Because this right here, this is good right here. Okay, all right. So this reel that I did was all of those cards that we did on last week. And so I want you to really, really follow us. And don't just look, don't be like me. I'm a what do they call people that be following people? But don't do nothing. See, what they call? Who? A scroll? A troll. Oh, so I'm a troll. But I don't want you to be a troll, okay? So just look at somebody and say, don't be a troll, or whatever, yeah. Okay. So I'm starting a new series for the month of November, and I'm calling it the Fivefold Gifts. What we believe about them and why we believe them. Now, some of you may be asking, well, Pastor, why would we even need to discuss something like that? And I'm so glad that I'm able to read your mind because I'm going to tell you why. Those reasons why we need to hear something like this is actually focused in the three reasons and the goal of the series. And so here's the first reason we need to hear something like this is so that we can grow in our knowledge about the fivefold. You say, well, why do we need to grow in the knowledge? Because you can't utilize what you don't know. Say amen to that. Number two, we need to grow in our understanding of the fivefold. And you say, well, maybe, why, Pastor Evan? Because you can't appreciate what you don't understand. And then number three, we need to hear about this so that we can get in position to be equipped. You say, well, why is that? Because your God has given you some callings and some giftings, and they can only be equipped by these fivefold gifts that he has given to the church. And because we are a Bible-believing church. Everybody say, we are a Bible-believing church. We are a Bible-believing church, and we are a teaching church. And so what I'm going to do is take the 5 weeks in November to go over these five giftings that we're calling the fivefold. So if you're taking notes today or if you need the notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give them to you. I'm going to jump right into this because we have our new membership class today. Our first point is, what is an apostle? Because that's the first gifting that's listed in Ephesians chapter 4. So what is an apostle? So we're going to start our journey today in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading out of the King James Version. I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you should walk worthy of the vocation that you have been called. He says, and I want you to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, and I want you to forbear one another in love. And as you walk in your vocation, I want you to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because some people don't know how to walk in peace. Amen. He says in verse 4, there is one body, there is one Spirit, even as you are called in hope of your calling. Everybody say your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Watch verse 7. This is good. But unto every one of you, look at somebody and say, you are every one of you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I read the context just to point out a couple of things before we jump into talking about the apostle. I want you to notice in verse 1 that it told us that we need to walk worthy of the vocation that we have been called to. Now, that word vocation, when you look it up, it actually means calling. So Paul was telling them, you need to walk worthy of the calling that God has called you to. And what's interesting is the word call there means to be invited. So that verse is saying, he's saying, I need you to walk worthy of the calling that you have been invited to. So here's the problem. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you your problem right now. Here's the problem, church. You cannot walk worthy of a calling that you are not aware of. Nor can you walk in a calling that you haven't accepted the invitation to fulfill it, because you can know you're supposed to do something and still choose to not do it. And the final thing I want to point out is verse 7. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace. Everybody say grace. Now that word grace means God's unmerited favor, but it also is translated as the word favor. So God has given all of us, watch this, favor or grace, so we can fulfill the call that he has given us. And so you may be sitting here saying, Pastor, I don't know what my call is. Well, I'm glad I can read your mind again, because I'm going to help you on that. I'm going to put callings in two categories, okay? The first category I'm going to put callings in are general callings. Everybody say general callings. A general calling, you ever gone to like a concert or something and they had general admission? That means you're going to sit where everybody's sitting. Now, I don't like general seating. But general callings, this calling is for everybody. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a calling. It's general. Well, let me tell you what that general call is. That general calling is to serve. So just look at somebody and say, I know my calling now. And that's why some of you are flunking at your call, because you're not serving. I'm going to be nice this morning, though. Here's the second calling. I'm going to call this personal callings. And this is a specific calling that God has assigned to you. Like in my case, he called me to be a pastor. So let's look at how the apostle plays a role in our callings. Let's go now and finish reading Ephesians chapter 4. Now we're going to jump down to verse 11. We're reading out of the New Living Translation this time. Now listen to what he says. Now these are the gifts. Everybody say gifts. These are the gifts that Christ has given to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. This will continue. Everybody say, this will continue. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So these five gifts have the same assignment, but it's coming from different positions or different office. And they are called to perfect the saints. Listen to the King James Version of verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Watch this. For the perfecting of the saints. So the saints can do the work of ministry. And so the body of Christ can be edified. And that word perfecting, when you look it up, church, it means to completely furnish. Which means, in other words, the responsibility of these five gifts is to make sure that every believer lacks nothing for their purpose in serving. Amen. And the word serving there means, or ministry means serving. So here's a very crucial question as we dive into this. If these five gifts are supposed to help equip us to serve, does my proximity to these gifts matter? Everybody say, In other words, can my vicinity have an impact on me being equipped to serve and for me to discover my specific callings? So let me give you perspective, and then I'm going to give you an illustration. I have a question. How many original apostles did Jesus have? Come on, church. He had 12 apostles. Let me ask you a question. Were they in close proximity to him? Yes, they were. Listen, they could not have learned to become fishers of men. They could not have been trained to become apostles. They could not have been mentored by him had they not had close proximity. I'm going somewhere. So proximity makes a difference. Everybody say proximity makes a difference. So there are 250 of you all, because it's too many. I didn't want to pass out so many because I didn't want to be clobbered. But there are 250 of you who receive a ping pong ball when you walked in. I need you to get your ping pong ball out. Get it out, get it out, get it out, get it out, get it out. Now, if you didn't get one, that means you were beyond 250 when you came in. So here's the instructions. Get your ping pong ball up. The instruction number one is you cannot get out of your place to do what I'm about to tell you to do. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to try to throw your ping pong ball into this cup. Are you ready? Hold up your ping pong ball so everybody can see. All right. Now, don't worry about hitting me. Now, don't be throwing it on purpose trying to hit me now. I've been waiting on this opportunity my whole life. Let me hit him right there on that third wave on the top of his head. Nope. Okay. So, on the count of three, I want you to try to throw these balls into this cup. One, two, three. See, she didn't even follow instructions. I said, don't get out of your seat. There it is right there. Saints of the living God. Okay. All right. That was close. All right. I thought I said three. Did I say three? I could have counted to 15. Now, let me look. There's not one in the cup. But mine made it. Now, why did mine make it? Am I a better shot? No, mine made it because I had better proximity to the cup. And if you're going to be equipped by the fivefold, you can't be outside of the church. You got to get in the midst. You got to get close. Amen. So let's answer the question to our first point, which is, what is an apostle? So let me give you a very basic definition of what an apostle is. An apostle, first of all, we read that he is a gift, or she is a gift, to the body of Christ. The word apostle, when you look it up, means the sent one or sent one. It also means a sent messenger or as a delegate. And a delegate is one who is authorized to represent others. Now, what I want to do is go to our second point and then talk about how did apostles start. So that's our second point. We know what it is. An apostle is a sent one. It's a delegated person that God wants to use to represent others. So our second point is, how did apostles start? Well, let me answer this question by pointing out, and what I've done is put apostles into four, what I'm going to call, different timeline categories, okay? Because this will help you to better understand. Now, the first timeline category, I'm going to call the first or chief apostle. Everybody say chief apostle. Now, this position, from a hierarchy standpoint, can only go to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. He was not only the first apostle, he's the chief apostle because he's over all the apostles. Say amen to that. Because there's nowhere else in Scripture that any other apostle is referred to as the apostle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, they're going to put it on the screen. Paul said, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession," read it with me, "Christ Jesus." So Jesus is the first and chief apostle. What's the second one? The second one, I'm going to call them the original apostles. In our day, in today's vernacular, we would say they're the original OGs, right? Well, let's read now, because let's see how they came about. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to do what, church? To pray, and he continued in prayer, how long? All night to pray to God." Well, let's see why he prayed that long. "And when it was day, he called his disciples," or he called unto him his disciples. Watch this, church. "And of those disciples, he chose how many?" Okay, so listen, Jesus prayed all night because he knew he was going to have to make a major decision. And so if you have to make major decisions in your life, do not do that without taking some time to pray well. So he had other disciples because he only picked 12 out of those. And of those, they begin to, you know, list the names of all those disciples, which I'm not going to do. But I just wanted to show you that Jesus chose 12 apostles. In fact, it says, "And of them he chose 12, who he also named," what? Apostles. All right. So the second group is the original OGs. Here's the third group of apostles. I'm going to call them the birthing and building apostles. You say, well, what is that? These are apostles who Jesus used to help birth what we know today as the church. And they brought foundation and doctrine to it. The only reason we have the New Testament is that God used these giftings to help write the New Testament. And so these birthing and building apostles, it wasn't 12 because, remember, Judas hung himself. And so what they did, the other 11 got together and they chose a replacement for Judas, and his replacement was named Matthias. But then most people don't realize there were also included others who became apostles. In other words, the original 12 were not the only apostles in the New Testament. Some of these extra apostles were followers of Jesus when he was doing his earthly ministry. One of the examples is his brother James. If you didn't know that Jesus had a brother, yes, his brother was named James. In Galatians chapter 1, it's about to help us see that James was an apostle as well. Now, we know that James was around when Jesus was doing ministry because he was raised in the same home. In fact, there was one situation where Jesus was preaching somewhere, and somebody came up to him and says, "Hey, your family, your mom is outside. They want to talk to you." And he says, "Who's my mother and who's my father but those who do the will of my father?" So Galatians 1:18 in the New Living Translation says, "Then 3 years," Paul was saying, 3 years later, "as I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, I stayed with him for 15 days. Watch verse 19. "The only other apostle that I met at that time was who, church? was James, the Lord's brother. So James was one of these building and birthing apostles that helped to establish the church. But there were other apostles that were added as well, watch this, that were not part of the original 12 and who were not there when Jesus was here on his earthly ministry. And this is important to know because some people think that apostles died when the 12 originals died. But no, they could not have died. Watch this now. Ephesians chapter 4, when we read it, it said that Christ gave apostles as gifts to the church. To do what? To perfect the church. Well, you know right now that the church is not perfected. The church is not mature and the church is not unified. And so guess what? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, they're still necessary because the church is not where it needs to be. Say amen to that. And so their role is to help grow and mature us until we're unified. Now, some of these apostles that existed, one of them in particular, we are aware of who they are because they wrote the majority of the New Testament, and that is Paul. Everybody say Paul. Paul, who used to be Saul, he had an encounter with Jesus, and of course Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus eventually gave him or put him into the apostleship. So all of these birthing and building apostles, they helped bring doctrine. They helped to bring foundation into the church. And so Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 helps us to understand this. Watch what it says. He says, so now you and I who are Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's people. You are members of whose family? God's family. And together we are his house. Watch this. And we are being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. So we can see that these building and birthing apostles, they were there to help bring foundation and birthing to the New Testament church. But then I have another fourth type of apostle, and I'm going to call this group the modern day apostles. Now, the modern day apostles, these are found in Ephesians chapter 4. It says when Jesus led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. And those gifts are those fivefold gifts that of what we're talking about. So here's the question. What are the signs of a modern day apostle, and how does people become one? That's a good question, ain't it? Amen. So let's now go to point three, and that is, how do we identify a modern day apostle? Now, the reason I'm covering this, because if there are real apostles, then there have to be some fake apostles. And when I say fake, I mean fake by way of either demonic deception, because the devil, he's smart. He wants to take and fake everything God has. Because if there's a real, there's a fake. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 tells us this. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, Paul says, but I will continue doing what I've always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. What kind of apostles? False apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised about that because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. See, there are fake, just like there are fake apostles, there are false pastors, there are false teachers, there are false. And see, most people don't understand how to distinguish between the real and the fake. In fact, years ago, everybody say years ago. So just touch your neighbor and say, who he talking about ain't here right now. Years ago, we had a member of our church, and this brother was amazing, had great service. And one area that he served in, which he was very good in, he was a great true group leader. He was one of the best true group leaders, right? But he went and visited a church. And when he went and visited this church, the person over this church told him he was an apostle. Well, how are you going to say somebody is an apostle and you just met them? Now, I'm going to show you that there should be some works and fruits of apostleship before somebody can be called an apostle. So he came and met with me and said, yeah, I was told I'm an apostle. And I thought to myself, well, if you're an apostle, what am I? And they left. And let me tell you something, the ministry that they have today, is not even close to what they were doing when they were a true group leader here. He did not have the fruit of being an apostle. Now, I'm going to say something real hard right here, but it's not that bad. You can't make yourself a gift. In fact, let me give you a take-home statement. This one's going to sting a little bit. You know how when they give you a shot, when they first stick that needle in, it kind of sting a little bit? Here's a take-home statement. Never mistake having a gift with being a gift. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? See, God has gifted us with certain giftings and certain talents and certain abilities. The problem is, if you don't know what you're doing, you will think just because you're gifted, you are the gift. Well, you can't make yourself a gift. Jesus is the only one that can call you to be a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, watch what it says. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, verse 28. And God, everybody say God. And God has set, watch this, some in the church. Watch this. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now I want you to notice the order in which God did that. Okay? Now, he said first apostles. Now first does not mean better. First just means in order of importance. Are you with me? Why? Because apostles are the ones that set order and set foundation. You don't build a house until you first put the foundation down. Say amen to that. Now you may say, well, Pastor, how can we tell the difference? What are some traits of an apostle? Well, I'm glad you asked me, because first of all, most apostles, not all, because some come as apostles from their mother's womb. Now that's rare. Just like prophets, some of them can come from their mothers. Remember what God told Jeremiah? He said, I called you as a prophet from your mother's womb. So sometimes that happens, but that's rare. But most apostles don't start out apostles. They typically have an entry point as a pastor or these other four giftings that are there. A lot of times they start. It's like me. I started out as an evangelist. And then God called me to be a pastor. Well, one of the reasons for this is because there are certain works and there are certain fruit that an apostle should have before he can be or she can be considered an apostle. Say amen to that. Well, let me show you this. Paul was one of those people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. He says, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I'm also a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. But I want you to notice here that Paul was a preacher. He was a teacher and he was an apostle. In other words, he didn't start that way. He evolved into that. So let's look at some traits of an apostle here. Here's trait number one. They get a clear calling from the Lord. They don't listen to people. Oh, I think you're an apostle. I think you this. See, that's why some of you all are so, you know, confused about what you're called to do. Because you're looking. Well, when I was growing up, they say I'd be a preacher. I don't know if I'm a preacher or not. You know why you don't know? Because you have not gotten a call. When he calls, just pick up the phone. Apostles have to get a clear calling from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to what Paul said. Paul, watch this. Call to be a what? An apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. So number one, a real apostle is going to get a clear call from the Lord. Here's number two, they have the fruit of an established work. These are not just people who want a title. These are not just people who decide, I want to change. I want to be an apostle. No, because again, you don't call yourself to be a gift. Amen. And this fruit of an established work should outlast them. See, Word of Truth Family Church is going to outlast Pastor Evan. You better believe it. When God tells me who the next pastor of this church is, I'm going to train them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to mentor them. Then I'm going to hand this church over to them. I'm still going to be the apostle. Right? But I'm going to release it. Why? Because something... When people say they are an apostle, you have to ask yourself, well, what established work do they have? Watch 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. Paul says, am I not free as anyone else? am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus, our Lord, with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think I am not an apostle, I am certainly an apostle to you. You yourselves are proof that I'm the Lord's apostle. So they should have an established work. Say amen to that. Here's number three. They can flow, operate, and function in all five giftings. Now, here's a great analogy. I've used it before, but it relates to what I'm talking about today. And I was taught this in Bible school when I went. It's the hand analogy, right? So each finger on the hand represents one of the five giftings or the fivefold. The small finger represents the teacher because that little finger can get in areas that your fat thumb can't get in. The teacher. Everybody say the teacher. Then you got the ring finger. That's the pastor. He loves and he just wants everybody to grow and be nurtured. They want to hug and love everybody. That's the pastor. Then you got that long finger that people use sometimes in an inappropriate way. If you notice, it's the longest finger because that's the evangelist. They're going to reach out. They're going to get people. They're going to get people saved, and they're going to bring them into the church. Then you have that pointing finger, which represents the prophet because the prophet is designed, and I'm going to talk about him next week. You don't want to miss it. And the prophet is designed to help point. But then you have that thumb, and that thumb represents the apostle because, watch this now, the thumb can work on all other four giftings, right? And so that's what an apostle can do. They can flow in all of them. Then number four, that's good, that's good, that's good, right? That's good. Here's the fourth one. They have an affirmation and a confirmation from qualified others that they are an apostle. You just can't make yourself one. Amen. Listen, some people think that being called in ministry is like being a business owner in Texas. You know, in Texas, you don't have to have no training to be a business. You can just go to the website and say, doing carpet. So you put some business cards together and you're going to call yourself the best carpet man in Texas. And you go file for your little incorporation on the website, and boom, you got a business. Well, I don't know how good you are, but see, God ain't like that. Amen. There are some qualifications. People have to know. You should not be the only person thinking you're called to do something. Other people who are qualified in your life ought to be able to look and say, oh, yeah, I can see that on them right there. Acts chapter 9 talks about that. I'm not going to talk about it. But Saul, when he was converted over to Paul and he was called into the apostleship, God used a man named Ananias to do that. Here's number five. I'm going quickly. We're talking about now traits of an apostle. Apostles are builders, physically and spiritually. They establish people. They establish places. They establish things. They develop, they cultivate, and they help people grow. They pioneer, they create, and they build. Everybody say pioneer, create, and build. They set up systems. And watch this. And typically what they set up can be duplicated as a pattern to other people. They help to establish and build works. They also are spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to others. Here's number six. They can operate in the supernatural. This includes all the manifestations of the Spirit. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you know, you have discernment, you have the word of wisdom, you have the word of knowledge, you have tongues, you have miracles, you have healings. In fact, if you look up Acts chapter 2, verse 42, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about how there were signs and wonders being done by the apostles. You say, well, Pastor, what's a wonder? When somebody do something, you be like, I wonder how he did that. That's a wonder. How many know I be hearing stuff and I be saying it and then people raise their hand? You be like, I wonder how he know that. That's how. Here's number seven. Apostles function very high in leadership, faith, administration, and miracles. Amen. Listen, I've been in leadership all my life and I wasn't even trying. Do you know that when I was in high school as a sophomore, you know, I was part of the drum line. And as a sophomore, I became the drum captain. So I had juniors and seniors reporting to me. When I went to Bible school, well, when I went to corporate America, I just went up in leadership. I go to Bible school. I am the first American that they even let go to this Bible school in Jamaica, right? Well, guess who became the class president? Yours truly. Amen. And administration and miracles, there are certain functions that in leadership that an apostle has. So how can an apostle help you? Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to talk about you right now. Number one, an apostle can help you discover and develop your God-given giftings, callings, and functions. Felicia, who is, I call her the woman of many voices. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Yeah, she sounds like the Chinese lady and the Russian lady and all that. Well, she had a meeting with me. She wanted to meet with me. And while I was meeting with her, the Lord downloaded clearly to me. He said, tell her she needs to be doing stand-up comedy. Well, it registered because she felt like, oh, well, maybe I should do that one day. But she just didn't really know. And when I said it to her, I said, the Lord told me to tell you that. Well, she stepped out, and now the girl has all type of openings to, is that her over there? Oh, that's not her. Okay, she come through third service, I think. But now she's doing stand-up comedy all over the place. How did that happen? Because somebody spoke a word into her heart. So they can help you discover your giftings. Here's number two. They can impart spiritual gifts into someone's life. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that they may be established. Listen, apostles can impart into someone, and not just the apostles, the fivefold as well, but I'm just giving you these examples of the apostle. Here's the third thing. They can help bring order, correction, and maturity. Because the last thing you want to be is a believer and you are mature in your length of time, but you're immature in your spiritual attitude and soul. So how do we apply today's message? Here's the real. Okay, so maybe I should have sent an email out today. Here's the first way we're going to apply the message today. Prepare your hearts to receive me as your apostle. Because God has made it very clear to me. And I'll give you the rundown. But God has made it very clear to me to make this change. And I have fought this change for 3 years because I didn't want to do it. I'm Presbyterian in my heart. I barely wanted to be called a pastor. Now you got to have an apostle. And it's not just the name change. That's the thing that I fought. It's just a name change. What difference does it make? It's not a name change. It's a function change. Here's number two. This is how you apply the message today. Be ready to move up spiritually, positionally, economically, and financially yourself. You say, well, what's the difference between economically and financially? Are they the same? No, because you can get increased financially and not get moved up economically. But see, it's impossible for me to go up without you going up. Here's number three. Start praying for me and our church. Because this is a kingdom move and a kingdom assignment. And so in January, we're going to be ordaining deacons. We're going to be ordaining additional pastors and ministers on staff. But then there's also going to be a time where some spiritual fathers are going to be a part of this confirmation with me. Because, see, us doing this is going to shift some things in the realm of the Spirit. It's also going to shift some things in our region. And the devil ain't gonna like it. Here's number four. Get in position as members to start serving somewhere in this place. Listen, don't let the flesh, which is the attitude of others, personality preferences, or problems that people may have with you. Listen, don't keep that from letting you serve. Because I'm gonna end with this take-home statement. Fivefold connection will produce spiritual perfection. Did y'all get something out of the message today? So with every head bow and every eye closed.